set free, that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us, that whosoever will may come. The love of a child for his mother is a love that I can understand, but the love of my Savior is so vast, yet oh so real, that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us, that whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us, that whosoever will may come.
Thank you, Brother Bruce. That was a blessing. And it's true. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to do a verse-by-verse exposition of Psalm 119 this morning, but I am going to choose one verse for our message today. Psalm 119 and verse number 89. Psalm 119 and verse number 89. I'll wait for a moment for you to get there, because it's a very short verse, but a very powerful verse, an important verse for our life. And if you found that verse, would you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God as we read verse 89. Now I know some of you are thinking one verse is not worth getting up for, but the Word of God's always worth standing for. The Bible says in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Now that's so short, let's read it again. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Now that's not a complicated verse. You don't have to have an IQ of a genius to understand it. I understand what forever is. And I understand what the Word of God is. And the Bible says it is settled forever in heaven. That means God has His complete Word. And it sure would be good if we had it also, wouldn't it? And it would be wonderful if our book, our Word of God, agrees with His Word of God. By the way, many people are toting things they call Bible that does not contain the whole Bible. It is not the complete Word of God. But the Word of God is given to us as our final rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice for the Christian life here. If we're going to please God, we've got to learn to live according to His Word and by His principles. And it sure would be good if we'd get one and read it and believe it and practice what it preaches. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, I want to emphasize that word settled. It means there's no debate about it going on in heaven. There's no confusion about the Word of God. They have the Word of God. It's been given to us. It is settled forever. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message that you might help us to fall in love again with your precious Word. That we might not just read it, but we might hide its words in our heart, that we might not sin against God. That we might believe its promises and practice its doctrine and live by its principles. For in so doing, we can be sure that we're pleasing God. Thank you for Christians who love your word, who read it, who think about it, and make it a part of their life. Thank you for Christians who are building a marriage according to your word and raising children according to your word. Increase those numbers. Thank you for churches and preachers that still believe the book. They're not looking for something new, but something that's true and settled in heaven. Thank you for thy word, that we have it today. And it is thy very word, thy mind, thy will. Your heart is revealed through thy word. Now help me as I bring this message. And Lord, if there be someone here unsaved today, would you speak to their heart about their eternal destiny? And just as the Word of God is settled in heaven, our eternal destiny must be settled in this life. And I'm asking you to save every unsaved person listening to my voice today. We'll thank you in Jesus' name for what you shall do. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning briefly on the subject, some things in our life that ought to be settled. Some things in our life that ought to be settled. In our text verse, we notice that God chose to use the word settled in reference to His Word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That word settled means to be established. It means to be fixed in concrete. It means it's unchanging. It means it will stand firm without question or dissent. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I want to use this word settled and its meanings in reference to our lives today in this modernistic, secular society we live in. We live in a world today of change. The word change is a big word in this election year. It seems that nothing stays the same very long. And the things that ought to stay the same, somebody's wanting to change them and get rid of them. Technology is changing at such a speed that by the time the new items are on the shelves for sale, they're outdated. By the time you buy the latest computer and program and you get them installed, new technology and programs come along that make them outdated before you ever get them online. Life is constantly changing. Homes are not like they used to be. Homes used to be built around family and their relationship with one another and with God. Families and lifestyles are changing. It's not like it was when I was a child. Today, everything seems so uncertain. That was not so when I was a boy growing up in East Texas. There were some absolutes that provided stability and security. But our depravity in this new generation have found new ways to sin and new ways to pervert things and new ways to get away from God. We have to deal with a changing morality today. Family values take on a different set of rules in today's society than it used to. I could go on and on. The longer I live, the more it is apparent that in order for our life to have order and peace and security, there must be some things that are settled, some things that are fixed in concrete, some things that are standing firm and are unchanging in our lives. And I must confess to you, the older I get, the more unsettling change is to me. Especially when it comes to the things of Almighty God. Today I want to preach to you about three things in every person's life here that ought to be settled once and for all. Number one, from our text verse, we ought to have settled in our hearts and in our soul that the Bible is the unchanging Word of God. That it is the final authority for all matters of belief and practice. I'm sad to tell you it's not so in most lives today. And it's not so in most lives of people who call themselves Christians. This is a society that's operating on its senses. It's a sensual society. We want to feel good. But there's some things that ought to be settled, and one of those things is that the Bible is the unchanging Word of God, and it is the final rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice for the Christian's life. Now, the Bible tells us plainly, God has settled it. There's no room for debate. There's no room for negotiation. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It's fixed in concrete. It's established. It's unchanging. It'll stand firm throughout time and throughout eternity. Now notice how long it's been settled. Forever. Hey, the Word of God is some new thing that God's come up with in the last few years. God's Word has been settled forever, and may I say to you, forever is as far that way in time to come as it is that way in time that's past. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And the Bible says His Word has been settled forever in heaven. God is eternal, and He wants us to know His Word is also. It is settled that God is God. He is the Creator and the owner of heaven and earth and all that's in it. That's settled. There is no other gods before Him. That's settled. But God said, I've also settled the fact that my Word is forever. It's unchanging. It's established in concrete. it's not going to diminish. These modern day Bible scholars who are not scholars but fools have never discovered this truth. Because of them, Christians are confused today. They're unsettled when it comes to the Word of God. Which Bible is the Word of God, and which Bible only contains some of the Word of God? Now, we have a lot of things going around today with the name Bible on it. But not all of them are the very Word of God. Some of them contain some of the Word of God. But I'm glad to tell you that God has given us a Bible that is the very Word of God. It's inspired, it is settled, it is preserved. We can know the mind of God and the will of God and the plan of God and the way of God. But because of the foolish Bible correctors, the great question and battle today in many Christian circles is the Bible really reliable, and is it the Word of God? My answer is yes. Yes, I have the Word of God. Yes, we have the Word of God. The same one that settled by God in heaven forever. We have it today. We need to spend more time reading it instead of fussing about it. We need to get back to this old book. Now, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God preserved for us in the English language. We need to read it, believe it, learn to live by it, practice its principles and its teachings. The modern Bible corrector says that the Bible is not reliable. God says, yes, it is. It's settled forever. Now, who do you agree with? Do you agree with God, or do you agree with a modern day man that's always changing the Bible? And by the way, he's always copyrighting his changes so he'll get royalties when you purchase them. God's Word will guide you through this life. The Bible says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It'll guide us in any age through the storms and the trials and the heartaches and the hurts. God's Word is fixed, the Bible says. In Psalm 119, verse 160, "Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever." It's fixed. God tells us that not only is His Word settled, it's pure and preserved. Psalm 112, verse 6 and 7. "The word of the Lord are pure words, and as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forevermore." And someone says, "Yeah, but that's Old Testament." Do you think God had to wait till the New Testament age to preserve His Word? Hey, the Bible is not some new thing with God. It's settled forever. Settled in heaven forever. And thank God it's pure and it's preserved. God further tells us that when the Bible changing Bible correcting fools have passed away, God's Word will still be true. It'll still be settled. It'll still be standing firm. In Matthew chapter 24, 35, Mark 13, 31, Luke 21, 33, the Bible says, Jesus said, and it's recorded three times, the heavens and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's settled forever. God reminds us that every person who believes and tries to live by God's Word will profit greatly from it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Profitable. I love profitable things. I hate to be involved in things that are not profitable. I know when I live by this book and believe its words and practice its teachings and claim its promises, I'm involved in something that is profitable. Secondly, we ought to have settled in our heart and soul what we believe as doctrinal truth. You say, where do you get doctrine? From the Bible. Now, we live in a day when it is popular to be non-denominational, non-doctrinal. We don't major on what we believe. Well, dear God, why have a church if you don't believe anything? If you believe the Bible, why don't you preach it and teach it? Every one of us ought to have it settled in our heart and our soul what we believe as doctrinal truth. If we don't, then the Mormons will come along and we'll believe what they say because it sounds good when they say it. The JWs will come along and we'll believe what they say because it sounds good when they say it. The Charismatics will come along and we'll believe what they say because it sounds good when they say it. But what is it to let me know what's right to believe? What is doctrinal truth as set forth by Almighty God? The Word of God that's settled in heaven forever. It was passed to the apostles and to us. And we need to believe it. The Bible tells us we should have a Bible answer when asked what we believe. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for your hope, the hope that is in you, and do it with meekness and fear." Every one of us ought to have settled in our hearts what we believe. And what we believe better be in agreement with the Word of God, because what you believe without the Word of God is as useless as a hip pocket on a pig. This book is the final authority. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? Where do we get that information? From the Word of God. From the Word of God. We ought to know what we believe about salvation. Well, I think. Doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God said. Salvation is His plan. He's purchased it. He's designed it. He applies it. If you're going to get it, you have to get it from God His way. Ought to know what we believe about salvation. What do you believe are the ordinances of the church? What do you believe is the purpose of the church? What is the church? How does one become a member of the church? Is the church universal or local? We ought to be able to give an answer, and the only place we're going to get an answer that matters is from this book. We ought to have the doctrine we believe settled in our hearts and soul, and it ought to come from the Word of God or it's worthless. What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about hell? I'm finding almost everybody believes in heaven. Hardly nobody anymore believes about hell, believes in hell. The same Bible that tells us about heaven tells us about hell. And what I'm finding today is that most people who believe there's a heaven believe everybody's going there. How long has it been since you've been to a funeral where preacher stood up and said, "I'm sorry to tell you, this man never got saved." We ought to know what we believe about heaven and hell, and we ought to be able to back it up with the Word of God. I'm saying to you, there's some things that we ought to have settled. It ought to be settled in our heart that the Bible is the Word of God and the final rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice. And it ought to be settled in our heart and soul what we believe as doctrinal truth. For that is what guides our life. That is what causes us to choose to live a certain way and go in a certain direction. What do you believe about marriage? I'm here to tell you that most of the world's not in agreement with the Bible about marriage. What do you believe about adultery? What do you believe about homosexuality? We have been so affected by modern unchristian science that we believe anything they say and disbelieve the Bible. Well, those homosexuals, they are genetically predisposed to that. Hey, no more than you are genetically predisposed to lying and stealing and adultery. We're all sinners. We're all depraved. And if we follow the lust of the flesh, it'll take us away from God and into perversion. And that's what homosexuality is, perversion. Anything that is away from the norm as God established it is perversion. What do you believe about it? What do you believe about premarital sex? About morality? What do you believe about dress? How to dress as men and as women? I can tell you today, even in our church, though we preach it, some of you hadn't got it. What do you believe about separation? Separation from, I'm talking about religious separation. I don't associate with everything that says that it's religion. I'm not a part of the ministerial society. Not going to be. I'm not trying to brag about it, but I'm simply saying I'm not going to do it. Light and darkness cannot have concord. They cannot have fellowship. When light comes in, darkness has to go. Let me get serious. What do you believe about tithing and giving? Now, preacher, I believe all that other stuff, but you getting down to an area where, yeah. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. What do you think about missions and soul winning? Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what the Bible teaches. We need to have that settled in our heart, what we believe. You say, preacher, there's so many things I don't understand. Then you need to get in church and get in Sunday school and get in places where doctrine's taught and the Bible's taught so you can settle it in your heart so it'll be established in you like it is in heaven. What do you believe about the second coming of Christ and end time events? You cannot settle these truths apart from God's Word. And how can you live for God and please Him if you don't know what His Word teaches? And how can you learn these truths? You learn it by reading the Bible and studying the Bible and getting in church where the Bible's taught and preached. Church that believes the Bible is settled and it's pure and it's preserved is a good beginning place. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which was under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He said we're to continue in that wherein in the faith we've been grounded and settled. And thirdly, not only ought we have to have settled that the Bible is the very Word of God and the final rule of a matter of matters of faith and practice in the Christian life, we ought to have settled in our heart and soul what we believe is doctrinal truth. And thirdly, every individual here ought to have settled in their heart and their soul where they'll spend eternity. God tells us that this can be settled also. We don't have to live in doubt. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in uncertainty. I don't mind people asking me, if I died today, do I know I'll go to heaven? I can tell them yes, and if they'll give me half a chance, I'll tell them why I know. Paul had it settled. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." God tells us that we can settle it also in our own hearts. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And this is the record," talking about this settled book, the Word of God, "this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." You can have it settled in your heart, but not apart from this. If you're going to get saved, you have to get saved the Bible way. I've had people that say, "Now, preacher, I have my own opinion and I have my own agreement with God." No, you don't. You're lost and going to hell, because neither's there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You don't get saved negotiating terms on salvation with God. You accept His way, or you don't get saved. You come through Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us, was buried and rose again, or you don't come at all. There's not plan A, plan B, or plan C. One way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." It may be that you're here today or listening to my voice and you're unsettled about your salvation and where you're going to spend eternity. And I'll tell you why you're unsettled. You haven't come to God the Bible way. You haven't believed God's Word. You haven't accepted God's Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. Nothing else but coming to God through faith in Jesus Christ and His work for us on Calvary and His resurrection, nothing else can give peace and assurance. Nothing else can the Holy Spirit give you certainty that you're saved except through Jesus Christ. You can try to be doubly religious. You can give double tithes. You can pray twice as long and go to twice as many church services. And without Jesus, you're just as lost as you ever were. You must be saved by putting your trust and faith in Jesus. And when Jesus died on that old rugged cross, He died so the most vile sinner could be saved, and the youngest of sinners could be saved. And whosoever will may come. whosoever will should come. And may I say to you, whosoever will must come to Jesus Christ. For He alone is the Savior. The Bible even settles the eternal destiny of those that have never accepted Jesus as Savior. People tell me, well, I don't know. I guess I'll find out when I stand before God. No, you don't have to wait till then. If you've not accepted Jesus, you can know where your eternal destiny is today. Jesus said in John 3:18, He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The first verse I ever memorized as a little boy was 1 John 5:12. Every word in verse 12 is a one-syllable word. And it says simply, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you've invited Jesus to be your Savior, to come into your life, you have Jesus and you have life. If you have not, you don't have Jesus. And you don't have life everlasting. Revelation 20:15 says, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get your name in the book of life? By trusting Jesus. It is called the Lamb's Book of Life. The book of the saved, the book of the redeemed. And I say to you in closing this morning, it is settled forever when you accept Christ as your Savior. Thank God I'm here to tell you, you don't have to get born again and again and again. Once you've been born again, you're in. You've got an opportunity to live according to His Word and be a good child of God, or rebel against His Word and be a sorry child of God. But you're still His. Not all of our children live to obey us and honor us, but they're still our children, aren't they? Once you've been born again, you can't get unborn again. It's settled forever. You're saved. You're a child of God. Is it settled in your heart and soul where you're going to spend eternity? It ought to be. And if it's not, you can settle it this morning. I don't believe there's a person got up this morning, got ready to come to church and came to sit in this service that does not believe in God or in heaven or in hell. But do you know where you're going to spend eternity? There's a lot of people going to church that don't know that they know that they know that they're saved. And you can settle that. But not without coming to Jesus and trusting Him as Savior. Why don't you do that today? Why don't you settle forever today that Jesus is your Savior? Why don't you come and take Him at His Word? For He's promised, all who come unto me, I'll not cast one out. He's promised that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you want to be saved and you'll come to Jesus Christ asking Him for it, He'll give it to you. He'll save you. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll make you one of His children. If you want to be saved, just come to Him. It can be settled. And I challenge every one of you today to settle in your heart, not only that you're saved, but that this book is the Word of God. And that you'd begin a process of learning and growing until you know what the Bible teaches. And you can live doctrinally in agreement with the God who gave us this book. Did you ever wonder why God gave us the Bible? Unlike religion of years ago where the priest said only the clergy could interpret and understand the Bible, God has given us the Word of God. And this Bible was written on the reading level of a third to fifth grader. Because God wanted us to know His Word. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to know what the Bible teaches, you can know. You can live for God today. And you'll be blessed for it when you do. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad today that I can tell you I've settled the fact that this Bible is the very Word of God. I'm in agreement with God on that. And I want you to know that I believe the doctrines that are set forth in the Bible. Christ taught the apostles. The apostles gave it to the church. God has written them down in His book for us. And we can believe what God told His apostles to believe. And then I'm glad that my salvation and assurance of salvation is not dependent upon how I feel. There's not many mornings that I get up that I'm not hurting. I hurt. My knees kill me. But I want you to know, I doubt whether I can walk up and down stairs sometimes, but I don't have any doubt about my salvation. That's settled in Jesus Christ because I've come to Him the Bible way. You say, well, what days you don't feel saved, what do? I go to the record. This is the record. These things have I written unto you that you that believe that you may know you have eternal life. So even in days when I don't feel saved, I'm still saved because the Bible tells me so. Have you settled it in your heart? You ought to today. Father,